Hi, this is Becca Lewis, your host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. In these podcasts on the months, our intent is to share the connections found in nature, the Bible, Native American teachings, Eastern philosophies, quantum physics, numbers, and colors, to name a few, all of which point to the spiritual meanings of the season and each month. This podcast on January covers everything from birds to dark matter, to the true meaning of debt and how not to have it. We talk about inner calm, kinship with all things, and my favorite subject of all, perception. There is so much more to share, so let's get started as we shift the story together. Okay, Dale, you ready for January?
I'm ready for January, yes.
Right. Well, what is the first thing we need to know about January? What is January all about?
Symbolically, January is, according to Twilight Images and Seneca Indians' Cycles of Truth, it's about learning. So the word for January is learn, and the quality is to learn in truth, or learn the truth. It's the seeker and the doer. It is kinship and relationships in all dimensions. So that means it's how you relate to everything, absolutely everything.
So do you want to stop there, or do you want to keep telling us all the things at one time?
Yeah, why don't I list all the particulars to January. The color is orange, which represents the eternal flame of love. So we always look at the pure essence of the symbol. Mm-hmm. The animal is a little bear, which again is about relationships in all dimensions, brotherly love, and promises. The season is in the season of learning. Now, learning the truth is understood through finding kinship with all life. And this is brought about by understanding the rhythm of each living thing. And the only way to understand is to experience that rhythm.
That makes sense.
So to learn the truth, we must open ourselves up to the vastness of the inner silence, to worlds, within worlds, until the worlds disappear, and all that is remaining is infinity.
So when you talk about January being learning, it's learning the truth. Is that right?
Yes.
But won't most people say, so what is truth?
Yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we have to, gee, if you don't know what the truth is, but how do you find out what the truth is? Because when we're coming from an external point of view of things, the truth is just up in here. It's anybody's.
So we're not talking about truth. When people say, well, there is no one truth, there, because laws change and come and go. We're not talking about that kind of truth. We're talking about the big T truth and the big R reality truth, the truth of who we are and what we are about.
Right.
Okay.
Not what the physical senses perceive as the truth, because we're looking outside of ourselves, measuring and trying to figure out what's true and isn't based on that.
Yeah.
We'll never find it. And physics actually helps that out, because as they look at the universe and they become very good at measuring the whole universe and applying the mechanical physics to everything out there to measure. And yet what they've come up with is the amount of matter and material that you can see in the universe represents about 5% of the universe. The rest of it is what they call dark energy and dark matter, and they have no idea what that is. That's 95%. Now, how can you base reality on 5% and then realize that 5% is, and when you start to look at the quantum physics, that 5% that we see as matter and physical is an illusion.
I was going to say, so what? We only see 5%. I mean, that's symbolic. We only see 5% of what actually our physical senses might be able to see. But they're still seeing what isn't actually the true. They're seeing signs and symbols, which is why we're always talking about signs and symbols. Mm-hmm. But you have to know how to interpret them correctly.
Right.
So learning the truth is really what we're always talking about in the reality shift.
Right. Learning the truth. And we're always talking about, well, what is the truth? And where do you find the truth? And really the only place to know what the truth is within, in that very deep within sense. And, you know, we're going to talk about some things today that we probably haven't really talked about before, at least to a point where it's a little more understandable. Because in January, since it is about learn the truth and seeking and doing from that point of view, from that place of learn the truth and what is that truth, we have to be aware that everything around us is going to show us what that is and teach us what that is and bring it out. We can't do it by just looking at it. We have to feel the rhythm of that thing, that life form, whatever it is we're looking at. We have to get into the rhythm of it and feel it and understand it. And then we learn what it is that it is representing, that is a symbolic of. So when we think of ourselves and what we've learned, we've been taught to be external and be on the outside and always look to the outside. And then we take everything that we see and we call that reality, and I only believe what my eyes tell me. Mm-hmm. And as Don Juan said, that's the dumbest stand anyone can make, is to do that. It's just like looking at the universe and saying, well, we only know 5% of it. Let's go ahead and figure out what reality is based on that.
Right.
Really? Sounds pretty dumb to me. Just based on that. Really can't do it. So, and then when we think of the first thing and the one, and it's to be aware of your own rhythm yourself. And what is that? If you think of your rhythm, is it calm? Is it very peaceful, harmony, harmonic in itself, or is it stressful, anxious? You know, most of us don't know what that is. We're too busy. We're too preoccupied, distracted, busy doing things that we really don't know what that rhythm is. How can we possibly know what a rhythm of something else is and really feel what that is? So, to experience the rhythm of another, you must still yourself to the point where you give no perceivable rhythm. An example of that, I used to have another property I lived on. I had a pasture, a section of yard, and then a driveway. And there was a line of ash trees that grew right along the driveway. And then this open area that we used to mow, which was about 15 feet across and about 100 feet long, and then a pasture with a fence that we kept horses in right next to that. I used to go out every night and practice martial arts forms out there in that grassy spot right next to the pasture. And when I did so, the horses would always come up and stand there and watch me do that. They just kept their eyes glued on me because I would lose a sense of who I was and just start to take on the form, because in the martial forms I did, they all represented animals. So you're doing an animal type movement, and the more you could feel the rhythm of that animal as you were doing the form, the more you took on that quality. But it was all fairly peaceful, calming stuff. And even the birds would land in those ash trees and just perch there and watch while I was doing that. And I'd do it for a couple hours usually. And they would stay there the whole time just watching that. So they were doing something like that, but I was also doing that in itself during that time, feeling that rhythm of something else.
And isn't that is actually learning the truth? It's not, although we can use words to study and we do use words to study and think about, we're using words to talk, but they don't, isn't the actual learning of the truth the experience of it in some form rather
exactly.
than...
Exactly.
It just takes you to that?
Yeah.
So we always talk about perception, the state of mind, point of view perception, state of mind perception. So state of mind is really what you're getting into that perception that we're all one, because that's the state of mind perception we're all... point of view perception that we're all saying we choose.
But to get there, you can say it. You can say the point of view is we're all one, and I can get there logically, easily. But to get there and to really know, to learn the truth, don't you have to get your state of mind into that same place? And that's what you're doing when you're stilling yourself and listening to the rhythm and feeling the rhythm of yourself and others.
Yeah, because when you do that quiet time, that inner silence, especially out in nature, you begin to feel the rhythm of it all as a whole. And so you feel like you're just kind of melding with everything out there, as opposed to being something that just tramps in there and sits down and thinks of its problems and that kind of thing. Then you're really not there at all.
Or plans for the future, any of the things that we tend to do when we're in a quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
If we actually get to quiet time, that tends to be what we do.
Yes, and Jamie Sams talks about the clan mother in her book, The 13 Original Clan Mothers. She talks about the first clan mother, which is talks with relatives or talks with relationships. But as she's talking about that, she brings a lot of different little different animals and plants and things into it that the clan mother talks to and gets the rhythm of, so she can understand the truth of its expression, of what it's expressing. And one of the first ones she comes across is the centipede. And what the centipede teaches is centering and stride because of all the legs that it has. So it teaches you that. So when you feel the rhythm of that centipede, you get a sense of what it is to be centered and stride with all those legs moving.
Instead of what most of us do when we see a centipede is yell and run for cover.
Freak out, yeah.
So instead, you look at how the legs move together as one. Mm-hmm. Well, they have a rhythm that they move together. And you mentioned that if they don't move together correctly, they trip. It trips, which would be funny to see.
If it didn't move all together and have a good centering,
it would continue to trip itself.
It would trip itself up, of course. That's a lot of legs. I mean, we do that with two legs.
So with using symbols that way, that is quite an interesting thing, because each leg is, we talked about it being step by step, that you learn how to do things or allow things to unfold step by step. But there's, a centipede has multiple legs moving step by step, mm-hmm. and allowing things to unfold step by step. But they move in harmony with each other, not as opposed to each other. And we tend to do a step here and a step over there and a step behind us and a step to the side and a step upstairs or whatever, instead of moving all the things that we do in harmony with each other. So we would be less trip over ourselves if we moved all of what we were doing in the same direction, moving at the same speed.
Yeah, moved as one.
Yeah,
exactly. And some things teach you how to do that, of course. And again, as you watch things in nature, you learn that. As the fox moves through the forest very, very calmly and with stealth and is very quiet. It just blends with the forest, and so that you cannot see the fox very well in the forest. In fact, the fox is one of those critters, those animals that the fox is a protector of the planetary things in life. And because no one can learn the medicines and languages of nature if they can't see what's right in front of them. And the fox teaches you that.
How does the fox teach you that?
Well, because all wisdom is camouflaged. And unless people believe in the invisible world, because it's right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you're preoccupied with your own thoughts, frustrations, confusions, or whatever, which we bring to everything, it seems like, you're not going to see those things that are right there, as we've talked about many times. Solutions to problems are always right there. We're so preoccupied with the problem and the things that are going on that we can't see that.
Well, that's starting with the wrong premise. You're starting with that we're human and we have problems.
Yes.
And we're always, this good place to state, that we're always starting from the premise that we are spiritual beings, that everything that's present is God. So it's a spiritual world and therefore perfect. And we're not trying to make something happen. We're not trying to be a creator or a cause. We're revealing what's already present. And I like that, what you had said at another time about, I mean, you were talking about the clan mother relationships, but you said the blue jay was trying to teach her to hear.
Yes.
And that's one of the symbols of January, the blue jay.
Yeah, the blue jay came and was using intuition to speak the truth. That's what the blue jay teaches, intuition to speak the truth, because the blue jay was there to help her to understand what the trees were saying. And she calls them the standing people.
I love that, the standing people. Trees, and actually, if you look at trees, they definitely are standing people.
They are. And when you give them the essence of life, which they do have, but when you give it to them yourself instead of thinking, oh, they're just an inanimate object out there, they mean nothing to me, they don't have a mouth and ears and that kind of thing, so they can't talk. And that's the thing about the trees or the standing people. They are heard through the heart, not through the ears.
Well, isn't all of truth heard through the heart?
Yes, and that is a very big point we want to make in this particular reality shift. The essence of truth is heard through the heart. And when we look at those three words, even heard, heart, and ears, well, heard has the word ear in it. It's got an H and a D around it, so maybe it's high definition hearing. I don't know. And then heart has ear in it. So, you know, you think of all those things, and then when you look at the word learn, it also has ear in it. So listening is the highest sense of awareness. And when you look at these words, they have the word ear in it, which symbolizes listening. How are you listening? What are you listening to? Those are the things you want to ask yourself. So when you start to put yourself out into the rhythm of other things, other life forms, you're listening with something completely different than ears. And you're listening at a much deeper level.
So you're listening to, you've often say listen to the silence.
Yeah.
So that's listening within.
Yes.
Hearing with your heart.
And we might think, well, you know, and sometimes we misrepresent what we're doing by saying, well, I just want to be quiet. Well, that may be, but sometimes that can trick you right into listening to human thoughts instead of really being quiet. Because when you're in the inner silence, there's a lot going on in there. In fact, everything is going on in there.
Well, I want to be quiet starts with the word I.
Yes.
So it sounds very much like I want to withdraw from what's going on. And we talk about the four stages of hypnotism, and the first one of the ones, one of the stages of hypnotism is to close yourself off. So when I want to be quiet, that statement often means I just want to hide. I want to run away. I don't want to deal with it. When you're talking about quiet, you're saying listen within, silence. And you could do that in the middle of a meeting or on the subway, or doing the work that you need to do out in the world, you can still be listening within in the silence. In fact, we should all learn how to listen within to the silence in the middle of all that.
That is a good point. It's something to be learned. You have to learn how to listen within, because we don't know how. We haven't been trained to listen within. We've been trained to use those external ears to hear stuff coming from the outside.
Right.
That's what we've been trained to do. So it's a different type of learning altogether, and a different type of hearing.
So this is within hearing.
Yes.
Now, you, back to the blue jay, if I can go back there. So the blue jay was trying to get her to listen to the standing people.
Right.
But she couldn't hear them.
She couldn't hear them. She was too busy with what she described as listening to the, had her head into her own confusions and frustrations, because she wasn't hearing the tree, the standing people, the tree people.
She was hearing her frustrations.
Yes, and so the more she heard her frustrations, the more she couldn't hear anything. So she wasn't hearing Blue Jay. And then Blue Jay brought in Ostrich. And Ostrich, very representative of what Ostrich teaches, is interact with others through communication. So the thing we know about the ostrich that we're always talking about, ostrich, is it hides its head in the sand, or has its head in the sand.
Which is what we're just kind of talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And ostrich has said when even one was excluded from a group, the ostrich would imitate those refusing to listen to everyone's ideas by burying her head in the sand until someone noticed. And of course, when you think of ostrich's head in the sand, what's sticking up and obvious?
It's butt.
And so it's representative also, that's what it thinks of somebody that isn't really listening. You know, it has a mind of its own and that kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
Independent, it's all about me kind of attitude that I don't want to be here. Or even that I want to be quiet, it still rings a separation, because even that statement, I want to be, is a separation statement. It's not telling a truthful statement about what is an I. I am quiet.
Yeah.
I am silence.
Yeah, because we are definitely not saying people don't need to take private and quiet meditation time. We're not saying that.
No, nope.
We're talking about the statement, I want to be quiet, with which is a withdrawal statement instead.
Yes. And then she went on to learn, so she learned from the ostrich to, you know, don't, when you're listening to your own thoughts and confusions of human sense, you're literally, you've got your head in the sand. You're not hearing anything. So you pull that head out and then you can hear and be part of the things. And then she was also taught by Grouse. Grouse teaches the spiral of rhythm in order to be in harmony. The grouse taught her that, how to feel it, to get into that spiral of rhythm. She was taught by Swan, the water dance. And if you think of the swan, swan goes through the water, is very, very, it just feels like water flowing very gently. So she was taught that rhythm to slow down, to feel that calm, moving rhythm. She was taught by Falcon, and the Falcon is hunts for solutions, hunting for solutions. And that, you can look at that also as that confusions and frustrations of human thinking. And it's like the Falcon teaches you to fly through that, to carry on, to move through that until you get to that point where you can see clearly.
And
so
you're up.
It flies
above.
You through that. Yes, and it could even fly like down through where there's dense vegetation, where it's very hard to see, but you can move through it quickly and navigate those areas. It's not a place where you have to feel, I can't move, I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fly through it. You use the rhythm of that to fly through there. And then even Gorilla teaches communication and teaching through actions. So the gorilla doesn't talk, but it has these actions all the time. It mimics something. It sees a younger gorilla doing something, it mimics that, it imitates that movement and action till it gets the other one to do something with it, and then it moves it into a different way of acting and moving. Remember, I told a story about our one grandson who, two or three at the time, but he was throwing this temper tantrum and
right.
screaming and knocking his
right.
fist on the floor. And I looked at that and said, oh, okay, so I did exactly the same thing. I imitated him. I got into the rhythm of what he was doing. He stopped and looked at that and started laughing.
Right. He did.
So that's an interesting point, though, also, that if we were to do that to an adult, they wouldn't be able to see what we were doing. They would take it in the wrong way, wouldn't even understand what we're doing,
right.
probably just get mad at us.
Right.
For acting like an idiot or
right.
something.
He wasn't trying to protect his ego.
Yeah, he was at that place where he could let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it for what it was.
And he knew what you were doing.
Yes.
He knew you weren't making fun of him. He knew you were, or saying something bad to him, that you were
yeah.
just trying to show him what had taken over his thinking.
Yeah, and that is part of, if you can get into the rhythm of that, then it doesn't look, I mean, especially to a young child, there's nothing phony about that. Wow, whoa. You just stand back and go, wow.
Yeah. Now, that is interesting that we can't do that, but we have so much to protect. We have so many belief systems to protect, and we think that all that we are and what we look at in the mirror and how we define ourselves is who we are. So anything that someone's trying to point out that isn't that often is taken as we become defensive rather than
yeah.
taking it
mm-hmm.
as this is trying to help me let go of what isn't who I am.
Right. And then again, we were talking about the fox as, you know, that four-legged who's very calm and quiet can really teach you many things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about people have to believe that there is an invisible world there. There is. I mean, what we see is so limited.
Yeah.
So limited when we just use those five external senses. There's just not much there. There are very few possibilities. where you find all the possibilities and probabilities are in that invisible place that you're not really seeing. Mm-hmm. You can't see with the physical senses. And physics proves that. I mean, it does show that, wow, what's really happening is in that quantum place that we really can't see.
Right.
And we have a hard time proving it. In fact, there's a lot of different experts that say a lot of different things about that world. And so they also say that because of that, you can kind of hitch your wagon to any expert you want to and say what you want to say based on that. And they said it's because there's some physicists who say, no, it can't be that that things can occupy, that can be a wave and a particle, or that when it's a particle and you do something to it and it's a entangled particle, a twin entangled particle, and if you do one to one thing, even if the other is a billion miles away, it'll act right at that moment and do just the opposite that it's twinned it. There's some physicists that, no, that can't be. There's something else going on that that really can't be. And yet there's some that say, oh, no, that's the way it is, and that's affecting everything, even the larger things. So they say it depends on the observer. It's relative to the observer and what the observer is looking at. That causes it. And others say, that can't be it.
Yeah.
So you can just hook your wagon to any one of those. And yet the one is reflective still of, like, the Copernican thing where it said, no, the Earth is the center of the universe. Everything revolves around the Earth. You know, it's an arrogant, idiotic, ignorant place to stand. But isn't that kind of the same thing? No, there can't be something invisible that we don't understand. If we don't understand, it's not logical. It can't be true.
Right.
It's the same thing.
And it's whether we're talking about quantum physics or all the stories that we make up about the world. People, you can hitch your wagon to any story you want to, but that doesn't change the truth of being.
And exactly.
And even the people that are making up all these weird different stories, follow the expert you want to, they all really, when they back away from it, say that all there is consciousness. So that is really what we're talking about. The conscious, God conscious of itself is all that's present.
Right.
So I love January for so many reasons, but I love that it's the relationship, kinsmanship, or kinship. And you said the little bear is about relationships.
Yes, and brotherly love and promises.
Now, when I'm thinking about relationships, I know you don't mean, you and I have a relationship. You're not talking about just that. We're talking about, as he just whips off his glasses, we're talking about relationships with your glasses, with the chair you're sitting in, with the microphone, with the desk, with the snow outside. You're talking about relationships.
Everything. Absolutely everything. All dimensions.
So if we sit in front of our computer and badmouth it, we're not in a good relationship with it.
Unfortunately, no.
Or we complain about anything at all, we're not in a good relationship with it.
And yet, right there in that place, it'll show you something if you can pause and kind of back out of that emotional handcuffs that you've just put on yourself by having a conflict with something.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the conflict, it's very hard to see exactly what's going on.
Right.
Because you're standing in such a place that looks like you've got an opposition. An opposite thing there, so you've got to stand there and duke it out somehow, or
right.
Run and hide.
Yeah.
So it can be anything. Yeah, exactly, anything.
And it is anything, because if we're all one, we're all in relationship with every little molecule, particle, tiny thing. We're all in relationship with everything. So it works both ways. I was thinking today as I was glancing outside and trying to get into that feeling of the oneness, and I was looking at the line of trees, thinking, well, I could think about those trees belong to our neighbors, that car is someone else's going by, or I can look at all of it and say, this is all me, meaning God. This is all God's present, me being aware of it. And that change, just in that instance of talking that way or seeing that way, you do get, whether you see anything or anything magic happens, you do get the sense in that immediate time of that infinity just for that one split second sometimes.
Right.
But you do begin that idea that reality is not what you're looking at.
Right, yes. And then that, again, going back to the standing people, That adds a dimension to listen within. You know, we might think of listening within deals with the sense of hearing with the ears, but going to inner silence, hearing comes from a different place altogether. We're talking about the heart. You know, and when we look at that symbolically, so it's obviously, you know, well, heart. I mean, okay, they've taken it out, and they I don't think they saw any ears on it. So again, you know, it's very symbolic, and we gotta stick with symbols. All spiritual teachings come by symbols,
and that's the only way it can be.
Yeah, so you don't take this literally; it's symbolic. Everything that we see is an expression of what is that spiritual essence. It's an expression of that one mind, and of course, if it's there, it's going to show us. It's showing something. So as we get into the rhythm of what that is, and feel and ask the right questions about what is this teaching me, then we get the understanding for it. So,
well, one of the things that you talked about is the different kinds of moons, which I thought was really interesting because we're in a white moon, you said.
Yes, this comes from Jamie Sam's books too. She talks about and Twilight used to talk about the moons a lot. And we have three white moons, which, you know, it's part of that inner silence, that resting time. You know, it's just like January, February, and you have snow, and it's still, even places where they don't get snow, it's still a different time. There's a different rhythm going on there because, you know, you feel it throughout. I mean, if you have a place here where there's a lot of that rhythm of slowing down, going within more, and the days are shorter, so everything feels like it's just, you know, backing off a little bit.
Right.
Calm down.
Right.
Take it easy. So you take advantage of that. That's what it's for. It's teaching, yes, good time to go within and slow down. And so it's kind of reflective of the bear that
hibernates.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it goes within. And then when it comes out in the spring, it starts to experience the three green moons, which is about new life and growth. Because, you know, you've calmed down. You've gotten into another place. You reflected on a lot of things. Okay, now it's time for the new things to come up and growth, the three green moons. And then as the three green moons, you know, go out, it comes to the three yellow moons, so the ripening and the fulfilling of things, so things filling up and ripening. And then the three red moons, which are the moons of the harvest after the fall of the ripening.
So that's kind of what we've been talking about all along, is that in this series called The 12, we're really moving through that, the symbols of each month and the rhythm of each month. And that's what those moons are part of, those rhythms. So that we're in this season or the rhythm of learning, which is in the white moon, which is going within and hearing again.
Right. And then you can take those and take it down to a moment. You can have a moment of calm, rest, quiet, a moment of, new idea came. I saw this new thing.
Yes.
Then a moment of, I see. Okay. I did something with it.
Uh-huh.
And then, and here's a horse. I just got something from doing that.
And that
thinking
can
that.
All happen in a...
Yeah, and actually in a moment. Because,
right.
You know, you get an idea. You're thinking about something. A thought comes up. You go do it. And you get a benefit from it. It, you know, just made life easier. You just understood something. That's the harvest. So it's understanding. So the ultimate is understanding what is truth. And the understanding is a quality of spirit. So there you are.
So the closer, more we do that, the more we actually see what God is, which is what the whole intention of this is, that we're doing this for.
Yes.
You said something about herd and herd and all the different ways of looking at herding and herd. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, when we talk about herd, you know, because it's like, again, the standing people, you know, you heard. What was it? How did I say that?
You said herd and herd. Herd as in animals and herd as in hearing.
Yeah, and then with the trees, it was about our herd through the heart.
Herd through the heart.
So when we think of the herd, now we have the word herd, H-E-R-D. Again, it has ear in it.
Right.
In the middle. Detected or perceived by the sense of hearing.
Uh-huh.
But when we hear through the heart, now we're perceiving something in a deeper level, in a deeper place. Now we have, there's also another word called herd, H-E-R-D. And you think of that herd mentality. When you go along with the herd, that, you know, it's more like a crowd, especially of ordinary, undistinguished persons or things. I mean, you're And the Chinese talk about this a lot, and we're going to talk about that. That's right here somewhere. But it's that herd mentality. It's getting caught up in that temporally conditioned stuff that we go through.
Uh-huh.
That causes the separations and things, and then we keep focused on that external stuff. And we're really more or less just like hamsters in a cage, you know, always going and not really getting anywhere. But it feels like we are, because, you know, we get in a car, we drive here, we drive back, we go here. But if you look at it, you could probably, if you looked at it from above, you'd probably see these little patterns that would go there, out, down here, over there, come back, made that same path, went over here. And you'd probably see very few lines.
Yeah.
And it just repeated over and over and over again. So to go into a deeper place, you're experiencing stuff you cannot possibly see or touch at all in the physical.
Well, you mentioned that the rational, logical person is the most easily controlled individual, and isn't that kind of like the herd?
Yeah, definitely. But why is that? Why is somebody that's, why would you think that a rational, logical person is very easily controlled?
Well, see, I have to think about that because I think, I think of myself as rational and logical. I figure out things out rationally and logically. So I think, well, am I easily controlled? Yes, if I'm only doing that. If I'm only looking at the outward, if I'm not using the herd, if I'm not listening within, then I can convince myself of something that may or may not be true. So I would think a rational, logical person, you could just give them a rational, logical reason, and that's all. If they had no if they weren't listening to the intuitive within, the intuitive self, or what we call womanhood, then they're going to make some strange decisions.
Yeah. And again, if you're taught the external and everything's about what's outside of you, and go after it and keep going after it, and everything, the fun, the power, the money, everything is outside of yourself. And you're taught, how do you get it? And it's all about, you know, rationally trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Step by step, logic, I got to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're easily led around, because now, if that's been the training and the conditioning, that it's all about the stuff out there, then you're going to think, oh, I want that. As soon as you go, I want that. I want that real bad. Now, whoever has it's got control of you. Whoever can get you to it has control over you. Because all they got to do, you know, I can get that for you.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. $9.95, boom, I'll get you there. You can have it. And you're like, oh.
And you see a lot of that today. Oh, I assume you've always seen a lot of it. But now that we're in the internet age, you see it all the time. People writing emails, this rational, logical argument that is all about money and power. And the part of you that says, well, gosh, I need a little more money and I'm not getting anywhere in my life goes, oh, I'll follow that system and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And but that statement, I'm a rational, logical person, actually has an error in it, because we aren't people. So but being able to say we God itself is the idea of order, then you also include that intuitive thinking about what is truth here. And you already have all what looks like other people call power and money.
Right.
So, and when you were talking, I was thinking how that also means you get, that's how you get in debt. Because that whole idea that you need something from outside yourself that you're being sold, that $9.95, you know, 100 times is now a lot more than $9.95. So you think, well, the world owes me a living. And that person, that logical way is going to get me to get there. Now you're in debt to wanting the world to owe you something, then you owe the world back.
Yeah.
And the only way to step away from that is to no longer demand that the world, the outside world, gives you something.
Right.
Which it can't anyway. It just forces you to be outside yourself instead of within.
And as the Chinese say, it's a temporally conditioned thing, so it's very temporary. It goes away. That's the biggest thing about this. That stuff goes away. You don't take it anywhere.
Right.
In the end, it just...
Even though we hoard it here.
So again, the true substance is spirit, the unseen. It's not the seen. So if you're being led out to get that stuff, you're being manipulated and controlled and bamboozled.
And that's the false manhood that we often talk about.
Yeah.
the counterfeit mail.
And that's where we go to, let's talk about the other one, which is, there's the first chapter in the Bible, which is the one of the big books so-called out there. But the essence is right in the first chapter. That's it. It was all made, the man, woman was made in one command. It's done. Okay. So obviously you've got it finished. The equality is there, the balance, the harmony, it's all there. And then comes chapter 2, which is also indicative of, well, it is 2. That right there tells you there's 2 things. That's a separation.
Right.
And now here comes this God, so-called, that...
Well, it's Lord God.
Yeah, Lordy, boy. He, you know, he gets some dirt and he blows in it, and boy, here's Adam. I mean, made out of nothing. I mean, symbolic dust is nothing. So he makes a man out of nothing. And then the man goes and he names all the critters and blah, blah, blah. And then he says, you know, Lord, I'm lonely. And then he puts Adam to sleep, pulls the rib out. You know, it's interesting. I don't believe anywhere in there he ever wakes up.
I don't think he ever did.
Did you read that in there when
no.
he woke up? I don't think he ever woke up. Very true. I mean, he never did wake up. He's still in that dream world of, oh, good, I'm going to get a woman. And then they put each other through the paces because it's based on counterfeit, a false idea. And an imbecilic God who, that God was created by some imbecilic man who said, let's start this story because we'll have control.
Well, and why we believe in that illusion really doesn't matter. It's that fact that it is an illusion.
Exactly.
So that whole section of the Bible is really about the symbolic of the dawning awareness of human consciousness that they aren't human, and begins, the clouds begin to clear, and you get to the New Testament, and Jesus represents coming of awareness of what truth is and breaks the clouds away so that more and more people can see the truth of being, which was stated in the first chapter. And then also, again, you have that thing that you say, the first is last and the last is first.
Yes.
And what do you mean by that when you say that?
Well, you can look at it a couple of different ways. If you look at the first chapter, that is the first chapter. It's also the last, because when you go to the Revelation, and the very end of Revelation is, well, yeah, here it is. See, it started with the perfection and truth and absolute harmony, and it ended with that. So the first is last, and the last is also first. Then you can also start with the idea of a false representative like Adam, who, you know, screwed up and just didn't have it together. And, you know, so had to go through these stages where he finally lost more and more of that sense of, you know, individual mind, individual ego, other than, you know, a separation. And finally got to that place where understanding and purified and got better and better. And so the last one was actually the first one, because in the first one there was nothing there that had to do with the last.
Okay.
You know, the falsity of the idea.
Yes.
And that's what you get to when you finally let go of all that looks like is true, when it's actually the illusion, the false idea of what is truth and the false idea of what is man and mind.
Yes.
You lose all that, which is really just letting go, dissolving all that stuff to the point where, oh, there's the purity. It was there all along. And that's the last thing. It was there all along. And it also tells you what the first thing was, that the stuff that you thought was there isn't there. It was an illusion to begin with. And what was really there was the very first thing.
So we're purely, really always really just trying to get back to what's true.
Yes.
That's all this is about.
And the Chinese have an interesting way of talking about that. They talk about three things called true intent, true sense, and spiritual essence. And they call them the three jewels in our bodies. And again, look at it symbolically.
Right.
You have to, because they relate it also to true earth, true lead, and true mercury. Because when you look at those individual things, they have qualities about them that are representative of true intent, true sense, and spiritual essence. Then they say these three jewels have a primordial, whole, unified energy, which is complete without any defect. And yet, this cannot be called intent, sense, and or essence, because it's all one reality. But then, when it mixes with temporally acquired conditioning, okay, you take that one reality, you mix it with this conditioning stuff, and yang culminates, giving rise to yin, you know, this whole Chinese terminology. The single energy divides into three.
Okay.
That's the same thing. When you do the external, start mixing it with that, that divides into three things. Thus, they come to the terms of intense sense and essence. They've come to be those terms, those
right.
three terms.
Right.
Because one reality now becomes three separate things. And then once the real divides, the false comes forth. The seeds of routine take command. Sense faculties and data stir together. And habit energy grows day by day. Then true intent becomes adulterated with artificial intentions. True sense becomes adulterated with arbitrary feelings. And spiritual essence becomes adulterated with temperament.
Wow.
Yeah?
Yes.
And then aberration and sanity mix. The artificial confuses the real. The essence and life are shaken. Day by day, year by year, the real disappears and becomes false. Yeah?
Yes.
So now, see, that's how kind of how it gets to that point. Now, the path of restoration starts with knowing the original true intent, which is what we were talking about.
Right.
You have to know what's true.
The premise is.
You have to. Mm-hmm. It's fuel. You're out there just, you might as well just go out and knock your head against the standing people for a while because it doesn't do any good. So when you know the true intent, if you give your mind to it, the jewel of faith is in your hand. Instantly, all existence are empty and you observe everything with detachment. External things cannot move you and sane energy gradually rises. Now, isn't that interesting? External things cannot move you.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that, that's another one of those things about control. External things, if you've got the power to manipulate and move external things, you've got people right where you want them. You can control them as much as you want. And you can look at the big examples of that, like Enron and Bernie Madoff. And if you know how to control those things that people are hungry for, need, gotta have, boy, have you got control.
Right.
And what you want to do, if you want to control people, take away that inner thing to, you know, train them into keep looking outside of themselves, using your physical ears to hear and only hear something coming from the outside. You'll have them right where you want them if you want to control people. And if you don't want to be controlled, learn to listen within. Learn, do the inner silence.
You know, if I could just step back for a second, we were talking about the logical, rational person and they can figure out how to make things happen. And one of the things that we've noticed through the years of doing this I noticed it myself first, is that I no longer could do that. I no longer could make things happen. The more I studied truth, the more I desired to start with perfection, the more I wanted to see what God was, the less ability I had to rationally, logically make things happen. When actually that was something I very much thought, oh, well, you know, whatever, I can make it happen. I can take care of it. I can do it. And slowly I lost all ability to do that. And so when that first starts happening, you think that your world's fallen apart because you no longer know what to do. Because nothing worked anymore. And that is actually a good sign because it really means that you no longer can go back to that. Now you can step into the truth of what logic is, which is God's logic, the design of the infinite, the love loving itself logic, and let that reveal whatever there is to be. And you no longer have to make things happen. When you give that up, then you recognize that the true power lies within.
Right.
It's not yours, it's divine. But I wanted to say that because I know there's so many people that are at that place in their life today where once upon a time they could figure out how things happened and how to do things. They were logically, they knew how to work hard, they knew how, if I did this, this would happen. And if that's no longer happening, it's actually a cause for celebration because you know that you've given up part of that false sense of yourself and you've really begun to allow the divine to be what you are and to be the action of the divine rather than being the action of human.
Yeah.
So that's what you're kind of talking about is that you're talking that sane energy rises.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
So before I thought I was sane, but I was really insane.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's the idea about it's a different type of listening. It's not that external stuff. It's a whole different place altogether. I mean, if it was exactly the same and we had to use the same senses, well, there wouldn't be the quantum physics, and there wouldn't be that mystery that's in quantum physics, because that's very reflective of, as you go deeper and deeper, the physical doesn't understand it. It cannot understand it. So if you stay there, you're just going to get more of the same. And it's all about separation. Therefore, it's all about opposites. You're either one end or the other. And that's why really everybody in the physical, doesn't matter which part you latch yourself onto, somebody thinks you're a whack job.
Yeah.
Because you can't help it. Because there's opposites all over the place. So if you're at this end, somebody at the other end is going to think you're the whack job, but and vice versa. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, somebody's going to find, you know, you're a whack job. And then if you're standing on the fence between the two places, well, then both of them think you're a whack job if you're not standing on their side.
And you're incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, and then you notice the person who's always, like, not in the throes of things is the individual who just, you know, takes himself out of it by going to that inner calm. You never even know they're there because they aren't there. Literally, they aren't there. And it's when you latch onto that emotionally, and that's usually a first sign. If you get emotional about something going on outside of yourself, it's got a hold of you.
Now, when we're talking about emotions, we're talking about that human emotional level, where because when we that's when we differentiate between emotions and feelings. Feelings are that awareness of the essence.
Yeah.
Emotions are what takes us into the human.
Yeah, and I prefer the
drama.
Rhythm of things rather than feelings. Because the rhythm just puts you into that, this is it. And then you really can't define what that is, which is a good thing. Because when you start defining things and putting labels on things, you've made it very finite. And you've lost the essence of what it is.
You have that thing about name the colors, blind the eye, as an old Zen saying. That's kind of what you're talking about?
Oh, right. That's from physics. That's right. Where is that?
Right here.
Yeah, it's a Zen thing. Name the colors, blind the eye, an old Zen saying. It's illustrating that the intellect's habitual way of branding and labeling creates a terrible experiential loss by displacing the vibrant living reality with a steady stream of labels. And again, think of our temporal conditioning. The way we've been educated is that. Label everything and learn it and do a rote thing about it. Come on. So it is the same way with space, which is solely the conceptual mind's way of clearing its throat of pausing between identified symbols. So, you know, and the native people would teach people to go out and experience things, which is the rhythm of something. And then you give it your own term. You call it what it feels like you should call it there. It's like instead of calling, oh, there's an ash tree. You know, it's one of the standing people, and this standing person expresses itself this way.
Right.
And you get a very direct connection with that particular life form yourself. And it just call it, especially, it's just so annoying. If something, oh, tell me what that tree is. Oh, that's an ash tree. Oh, okay, what about that one over there? See, you know nothing about the tree.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So to experience something like that, go out and feel it. Just be there. You know, let go of your own rhythm so it's not perceived anymore, and you just can feel what that feels.
Well, when you talk about labels, you're also adding a bunch of rules, that human rules that go along with it. So whatever label you've made, then those, you know, we've talked about your male, female, old, young, fat, skinny, tree, rock.
Exactly. I mean,
they all have labels, so you can only do whatever exists within that label. So as a woman, I can only do this. As a man, you can only do that.
Yeah.
So the letting go of all the labels allows everything to be one instead of little divided segments. Well, I know before we finish, and we were just talking about color, and now I'm going to ask you to talk about the color of the month. So I'm kind of
orange.
Yes.
Well, you think of the eternal, what they call the eternal flame of love. So eternal, obviously, it's always there. The light of that is always there. And it's relative to what is love. Love is, you know, that idea of love, loving itself, and it's a purity of love that never goes away. It's not derived from anything. It's the essence itself of love. And so whenever you can also look at it this way, when you see the symbol, when you see anything out there, if you pick up a stone and it has a little bit of orange on it, it's getting your attention to look at that and then feel that right there, the essence of what that love is right there at that moment. And what's that teaching you? What's that telling you about love and relationship right now? So it's just another indicator of, it'll point it out. It's always there. It's when we ask the questions and go more within to find out the solutions and answers to those things there, rather than always trying to figure them out on the outside of ourselves and being manipulated on the way.
Now, does that relate to the month of the person that was born in the month, although we talk about that symbolic, the seeker-doer?
Sure. Because a person who has that January thing going for them, yeah, they love to learn the truth. They love to know the truth. There's a little bit of competitive stuff going on in there about learning. And again, when you look at just the surface of that, what you want to do is what is the most effective way to learn something? And that is going within, calming down, doing that. And if you look at the opposite month, you know, if you go across, the expression comes through the July month, or the love conqueror, the lover of the conqueror. So the best way you're expressing it and learning it out there is through love. And once again, the eternal flame of love, the orange color, and you look through it, that's your backbone. That's like, this is where you're sitting. This is your stability. This is your faith and understanding of the expression of what is mine is sitting in that place. And then what you're seeing and how you're expressing into this world is through conquering those things that keep that from you, that keep you from seeing that and experiencing that. Therefore, getting into the rhythm of something and really feeling the life and the love essence of that, that is conquering what says you can't do that, or there's a limitation.
So you're conquering what's not true.
Yes.
That's the fight that you're doing.
Which is anything that says that there's a limitation, but it can't be true in infinity. Because if you say there's a limitation, that means it's finite, and that's not true.
So even though that is the symbol of the person who is born, in quotes, in the month of January, it's also what we can all take the month of January to be about. We can use the rhythm of this month.
Yes,
in
here
that
it
direction.
Is. That's right. Here it is. Use it. That's what's going on.
Instead
here it
of
is.
Setting goals, we can
yeah.
actually do learning.
Or comparing, saying, oh, I wish I was born in January. I'd like, no. You're always doing that. You're always seeking and doing.
Right.
And so you're always going through that. And that's as Twilight's talk about the Clarity Vision Quest. You do that, you go through all 12, because that's the whole circle, that's the whole thing. Of course we're all 12, because mind is all 12.
Right. So once again, remembering that everything is symbolic.
Yeah.
So what is there any last thing that you want us to know about the month of January or even the season of learning?
Well, remember we didn't talk about the blue moon. There isn't a lot to say about the blue moon, except, you know, when you get that 13th moon, the blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. It happened right on the very last day of last year.
I know. December 31st, 2009.
It was really something.
Blue moon.
And that's where you find that natural ability to change, to transform, or to shift from that place of limitation and closed in stuff to expanding out there and feeling the rhythm of everything around you.
Well, then to me, that's quite symbolic of this, is that we've all have the option at this point to really take what we're learning and really move it forward into the awareness of what God is.
Right.
It's brand new blue moon on the 31st of the last day of the month. Of the year.
That's right.
That's a pretty
exactly
big symbol.
Right.
Anything else still?
Yeah. One other thing. As they say in physics, a bit of thought will make it obvious that without perception, there can be no reality.
Well, you know I love that one.
You do love that one.
It is all perception. So choose your state of mind, choose your point of view, and make them the same.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
That's it.
And start with perfection.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, well, thank you, Delbert.
Thank you, hon.
It's wonderful once again.
Sure.
See you next month.
Bye-bye.
January is the month in which we all have a desire to begin anew, fresh, open, ready to experience the beauty and abundance of our lives. In spite of tradition, it is not a month to set resolutions, which are just surface to-dos that we may or may not be able to keep. Instead, it is a month to set our intent, to find the deep meaning of who we are and what we do, to seek and then to do, which is a perfect lead-in to our shift hack for today. All truth is heard through the heart. What does your heart tell you? Whatever it is, follow it. You can find this podcast at theshift.com/podcast or look for it under the category The Months. Perhaps an intent for this month would be to share these podcasts. We would so appreciate it. And if you feel inspired, please take a moment to rate it and comment on iTunes. Any way you can help us expand our ability to share, we are thankful for it. Till next time, join me as we shift the story together.